Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are extremely grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. And before we begin our teaching this week, I want to update you as to what is going on with Abounding Grace Radio and some of our new plans and where we are taking the program. As you know, this program has been funded by the Linden United Reformed Church. And now for the past 5 years, the Linden URC, the church where I pastor, has carried the heavy financial burden to keep this radio broadcast coming to you. Well, we recently have established Abounding Grace as its own separate entity. It's now Abounding Grace Radio, and it has its own board, and we are seeking to advance the gospel through the radio more to you here at KARI and hopefully down the road to other stations across the country. But we've never asked for any financial support or help for the program, and we are now asking you to partner with us, both prayerfully and financially. If this program has been a blessing to you over the years, or you have recently tuned in and are gleaning from the Word of God, the truths that are here spoken on Abounding Grace, we ask that you become a part of that and give back to help us to help somebody else who needs to hear the truth. And so all your donations here in the U.S. are tax deductible, and soon we'll have that status in Canada. Our mailing address is Abounding Grace Radio, 732 Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, 732 is the P.O. Box for Abounding Grace Radio. And we will soon be having a web presence with a brand new website that you can download all the past programming and learn more about who we are and what we believe. So we thank you for prayerfully considering this. It's an exciting time for Abounding Grace. It's something that we've long wanted to do, but we do need your help. We need your help prayerfully and financially. Well, as we conclude our study today in the Church of Thyatira, what has been the overall theme of this study? This study has been all about the church's holiness. And this was always a big teaching, a big principle, something the Lord was always emphasizing, and that Israel was always struggling with along the way. You'll remember that the Lord had said, "You are my special people. I have called you out of darkness into light. You are my special treasure." And what was constantly happening to Israel along the way? They were falling into sin. They were falling into sexual morality. And remember, 1 Corinthians 10 makes this great point. "Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." Now you see, constantly they were falling into the trap, the devil's trap of not being a holy people, not being a separate people, but being a people who were marked by the practices and sexual immorality of the pagans. And remember, this was the problem of the New Testament church just as much when the Apostle Paul had to tell them, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hear the call? Come out. Be separate. This is what the Lord was constantly calling the church to. This was the purpose for which he called us. Ephesians 1, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what end? That we should be holy and blameless in his sight. To the Thessalonians, again, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that you should each know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. And that's the whole theme of Revelation. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Come out and be separate, and I will receive you. You shall be my sons. Now, the great problem in the church, it has always been here. There's a two-pronged problem. There's legalism. Remember what legalism is? Legalism is imposing over the law the traditions and doctrines of men so to find one's justification before God or to force sanctification. That's legalism. It's a great problem in the church. But then there's the opposite side of the ditch, which is a great problem in the church today, probably a greater problem, which is antinomianism, anti-law. They've cast off all law. They've cast off all restraint. They have become lawless. And this has always been, tragically, a problem in the thought of the Christian church. This is why the Apostle Paul had to warn, let us not go on saying that we may go on sinning that grace may abound. Well, God's given us grace. God saved us by his gospel. God sent his son. Doesn't matter really in the whole scheme of things what we do. God does it all anyway. That's the mentality. It's a very common mentality. And the apostle is saying, people who say these things, who are acting like that, who think that they can just continue to sin because of the grace of God, their condemnation is just. Now, this is exactly what was going on in the church of Thyatira. They had blurred all distinction with the world. And they were deceived. Remember 1 Corinthians 6. Don't be deceived. And he gives a long list of vices that if we practice these things, if we practice drunkenness, if we practice adultery, that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's really clear on that. And he has to say, don't be deceived, because the church often gets deceived. That the Lord will just overlook this stuff. He won't. So we left off yesterday having considered this problem of Jezebel, this mentality of Jezebel, that you can go get involved in the pagan culture. You can do the practices of the pagan culture and still belong to God. And the Lord is saying, no, I gave her time to repent of that, of her sexual morality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. All I've got to say is, what an amazing Lord. He's even giving time for wicked Jezebel to repent. Even giving time for her to repent. So what does he go on to say? He goes on to say, I will put on you no other burden. Hold fast what you have till I come. This is what I want to close with today and have us think about. Did you just hear what Christ said? I want you to walk in holiness. Now, what's the standard of holiness? It's the law. But now as Christians, we're forgiven, we're washed by the gospel. So what does Christ expect? We now establish the law. We honor the law, not to earn our salvation, but out of gratitude. It's a way of saying thank you to the Lord. It's a law, as James says, of perfect freedom. So now we're free to walk in the law, in the Ten Commandments, as a way of gratitude. Now, what's the danger for us today as we see all of this lawlessness. You know what the danger is? I'm prone to it, dear listener. You're prone to it. The danger is we see all this laxity. We see all this compromise. We see all this lawlessness. We see all this immorality, all this careless Christianity today. And what is our response? What can we as a church start doing? To fix this, we can start adding to Christianity and the gospel to try to correct all this stuff. We can start making new requirements. This is the opposite side of the ditch, which the Pharisees fell into in legalism. Remember, legalism is super adding to God's law new commands beyond what Christ said for one's justification and even sanctification. What Christ is saying is, hold on to what you have. That's always the battle, isn't it? It's not a fight to do something new or correct behavior or some new measure, which the churches are looking for today. It's not it, not it, not at all. It's 2 Timothy 3, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. In other words, just hold on to it. That's going to be the greatest challenge. The gospel which has freed you, keep preaching it. Keep preaching Jesus' love. But in the process, don't lay any other burden than his. A burden which says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Believe in Christ and you will be saved. And now live in gratitude for that gospel by honoring his law as a standard of holiness. That's what he desires of us, dear listener. That's what he wants of us. And what a simple calling that is. You're saved by grace. You can't earn it. He's given it to you by wonderful grace and gospel and goodness by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And now you can live in the joy of that comfort and you can say thank you by honoring his law and walking in his ways. As Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So Jesus makes some promises here in closing. To him who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. As I have received from my Father, Jesus is saying this is what he's doing for them. You are going to rule with Christ. You will judge with him. And he says, I will give you the morning star. Remember 2 Peter 1. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What's Christ pledging to you, dear listener? This is what he holds out for you. A day is coming when you will sit with him, if you are a believer, in glory, and you're going to enjoy him forever. No more sin, no more lawlessness, no more wickedness. It will be over. Until then, the Lord is calling us to holiness, remembering that he has saved us for this purpose, that we might hold high his standard and delight ourselves in his separate status from the world as belonging to the Holy Redeemer who is Jesus Christ. I close today by saying what Jesus says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We would like to remind you that Abounding Grace Radio is now a listener-supported program. We need your prayerful and financial support to remain on the program to bring these daily broadcasts to you. Our mailing address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.